From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Mayor Beth Weldon announced today that she's running for mayor for a second term. She made the announcement this morning on KINY. The Juneau Empire confirmed it this afternoon. She told the Empire that she wants to continue working on projects where she has things left to contribute, like childcare. Weldon has been Juneau's mayor since 2018. Previously, she served on the assembly. In other news, the coronavirus pandemic took a heavy toll on tourism and consequently the aviation industry. KTOO's Bridget Dowd tells us how companies based at Juneau's airport scraped by and how they see the months ahead.
Gary Thompson owns Admiralty Air Service, which offers charter flights throughout Southeast Alaska.
Well, I love flying. I always have. Gosh, I've been doing it up here since 93, and it's a beautiful place to fly.
He's the only employee of the company, which has two airplanes and a small group of regular customers.
Small company, like a lot of the companies have been going broke around the country. I'm just fortunate that I'm able to survive still.
Thompson usually flies about 450 to 500 hours a summer. Last year, he was down to about 400. And while that might not sound like much of a loss, he says after paying all his expenses, that last 100 hours makes a big difference. So when business died down last April, Thompson and 10 other Juneau Airport tenants signed a letter. They asked the airport to use some of its more than $20 million in federal coronavirus relief to cover their rent payments for the year. In total, for 13 commercial aviation tenants, that's just over $1 million. Airport manager Patty Watto says when she got the request, she and other airport board members worked with the FAA to come up with a plan. Commercial aviation tenants would have to fill out an application to have their rent paid for.
Some of our operators aren't even turning a proper rotor, and this is a big deal because the rent is still due, everything is still due. So by at least pulling away from having this rent underneath them when they're not making money or making very little due to limited travel, that helps them immensely.
The airport's board approved the rent relief starting in July of 2020. Thompson says it was a big help.
It made up for the lost business I had last year, that's for sure.
And the airport's board recently approved another year of relief for those tenants. Watto says they'll continue assessing the need each year and could potentially offer this program through 2025.
It may very well be that it's going to take years for a rebound, and this is something that we can help them with.
Unfortunately, the program is only available to commercial airlines, which means concessionaires inside the airport were not offered those funds.
It was a little worrisome, like how are we going to even, you know, pay the rent, let alone the employee payroll.
Christy Elliott manages Hummingbird Hollow Gifts, the only gift shop in the airport. She says she requested the rent relief as well, but was denied. The airport did offer to put off her rent until December, but she turned it down because she was able to find other government assistance. But getting through wasn't easy. Elliott's sales were down 75 to 80%. She says it was lucky the shop had recently moved into a smaller temporary spot with reduced rent.
It just kind of all worked out. You know, we've been applying for every grant that we're eligible for, and by the grace of God, we made it through with those. So we're just trying to hang in there and hope for better times.
Alaska Seaplanes is one of the Juneau-based airlines that received rent relief. Marketing manager Andy Klein says it's primarily a commuter airline for Southeast, but in the summer, business is bumped up quite a bit by tourism.
2020 was a tough year. We have seen in recent months a pickup of business heading into the usual very busy summer season for us. It's not at pre-pandemic levels at this point, but it's picking up. So we see a rebound happening.
Both Klein and Thompson say it's too early in the season to know how the summer will shake out, but they're staying hopeful. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
Voters in Key West, Florida decided last November to reduce cruise ship traffic in their town through amendments to the city's charter. Sound familiar? The lead activist behind a similar effort unveiled in Juneau last week says Key West was her inspiration. KTOO's Jeremy Shea spoke with longtime Key West resident and WLRN reporter Nancy Klinginger about how it played out there.
Tell me a little bit about Key West.
Key West is a pretty small island. It's about 3 by 5 miles. It's densely populated. about 25,000 residents. And pre-pandemic, we got about 2 million tourists a year. Cruise ships made up almost half of that. So it can feel pretty crowded sometimes. I should also say there was a study done by the cruise ship industry that showed that the cruise ship visitors were responsible for about 7% of the tourism spending in Key West.
All right. So last November, folks in Key West voted on three ballot questions limiting cruise ship access to Key West. Where do these ballot questions come from?
They came after the cruise ships stopped sailing in March of last year, 2020. It wasn't just the cruise ships stopped sailing. The city shut down all hotels and vacation rentals. So basically, we shut down all tourism for the months of April and May of last year. And so we had this real pause in what had been normal life in the Keys. And there was a lot of discussion about maybe we should kind of take this as an opportunity to think about what we're doing. And a group of locals here in Key West and the Lower Keys started crafting a proposal to really change and cut way back on cruise ship visitation.
Why single out the cruise ships versus, you know, independent travelers or day trippers, that kind of thing?
Yeah, there were really two issues that they brought up, one of which was the possibility of an infection breakout. Remember, during the early pandemic, cruise ships were a big focus of that. And the reason that the Keys shut themselves off from tourism is because we also have very limited hospital capacity. And cruise ships, you know, not just with the coronavirus, but I'm sure you know with the norovirus outbreaks in the past, have been a source of disease outbreaks. So there was a lot of concern that Key West couldn't handle that. And it wasn't worth that risk to the local population and the greater tourism economy for what the cruise ships bring. So their argument was they are half the visitors and they're only providing 7% of our money. Their other argument was environmental, that the ships stir up sediment on their way in and out of the harbor, and that this damages the reef and the fishing right off Key West.
You know, as it progressed, did it stay pretty grassroots, or was there outside moneyed interests coming in and trying to influence how things went?
There was definitely, you know, financial support for the initiatives came from, you know, locals or people with an interest, you know, snowbirds in Key West. The campaign against these initiatives, it was kind of funny. The local Chamber of Commerce came out against two of the three ballot questions. Some local businesses that rely on cruise ships definitely campaigned against it. But we also in Key West started getting flyers that had these scary messages about how your taxes were going to be raised and also that you would basically be defunding the police if these referendums passed, because they said that we would lose all this tax revenue. And there was like a picture of this woman walking down the street and a black mask behind her. And those were from this registered group that the Miami Herald did a big investigation and called it dark money and managed to trace that money back to the cruise industry.
And so what happened in the election in November?
The two questions that would limit the number of passengers and the capacity of ships, both of those passed by more than 60%. And the one about prioritizing the cleaner, safer ships, that one passed by more than 80%.
Do you have anything else you want to add about it? I didn't ask.
There's been this tension between what you would call mass tourism and the higher end resort tourism in Key West for as long as I've been here, you know, 30 years, that this is an elitist move, that the people who support this don't want, you know, poor people essentially coming to Key West. And, you know, these are people who would obviously never be able to afford a $436 a night hotel room. You know, it's a terrible thing to say you can't come here unless you can afford that. And cruise ships are really where that comes to a head.
In other news, the Alaska House of Representatives has passed a bill that attempts to prevent teachers from being laid off over the next 2 years. Lawmakers passed the education bill on Thursday that is supposed to lock in the school funding budget through 2023. It passed with a vote of 26 to 14. In previous years, the late state budget finalization has forced local school districts to budget based on worst-case scenarios, which caused temporary teacher layoffs. The Anchorage Daily News reported that while many of those teachers were eventually rehired, the layoffs increased teacher turnover and hurt student performance. The education bill now moves to the state Senate. And for more on this and other stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.